This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. Coming up this afternoon here on the Premier League Fan Show, we'll be looking back at last night's Premier League action, but so much to look forward to tonight, including the Merseyside derby at Anfield and also a huge game at Old Trafford as Jose Mourinho returns to Manchester United with Tottenham. We'll be getting both perspectives on that. We'll also be talking about Amazon Prime. It's a huge week for them, one of the new players in broadcasting in the Premier League. I thought it was a big success, but I wonder what you think. And we'll also be previewing tomorrow night's games as well. It's a full fixture list coming up this week. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Premier League Fan Show. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558 if you want to get in touch. If that music doesn't get you excited for the afternoon, then I don't know what will. As we look ahead to some pretty big fixtures tonight in the Premier League, there's something about it. Obviously, it's fantastic, the Champions League weeks, and there's something rather special, and I love a Champions League night. It's also great when we have Premier League midweek fixtures as well. It just keeps the conversation going on. There's never a shortage of talking points in the Premier League, but when we have midweek fixtures, whether it be in the Champions League or the Premier League, it just adds an extra little bit of spice to the week. It's all good having weekend Premier League games, but when you add a bit of Champions League football, you add Premier League midweek fixtures into the equation, it just makes it that bit more entertaining. As I mentioned, we'll be looking ahead to some of tonight's games, but let's first look back at last night's action. We had two games, and as I mentioned, it was a big night for Amazon Prime as their first games were broadcast last night. Tonight, perhaps, is going to be the bigger test with six fixtures. But we had two. Firstly, at Selhurst Park, which saw Crystal Palace run out 1-0 winners. Jeffrey Schlupp scoring in consecutive games to give Palace all 3 points, which takes Palace up to fifth place in the table. I mean, what a season Palace are having. What a season Sheffield United are having, that they are right up there taking advantage of a few of the bigger sides like Tottenham, Manchester United and Arsenal having poor starts to the season. Palace had to play most of the game down to 10 men, just over 70 minutes, with a man down after Mamadou Sakho was rightly sent off just before the 20-minute mark after a pretty poor challenge on the Bournemouth fullback Adam Smith. But the game just kind of came into a typical Crystal Palace type of game, and you knew exactly what was going to happen, that Roy Hodgson was going to set up his side really well, they're going to be fantastically organised, they were going to frustrate Bournemouth, and then guess what, on the counter-attack, Crystal Palace do get the winner through Jeffrey Schlupp within the final 20 minutes, and Bournemouth had another poor night. It's now four straight defeats for Eddie Howe's side. So not great form for Bournemouth. Palace have come through a very tricky period with a lot of big fixtures over the last couple of the last month. They beat Burnley really, really well away from home, 2-0 last weekend. They back it up with another win and a great result for Crystal Palace. At Turf Moor, Burnley went down 4-1 at home against Manchester City. City dropping points on the weekend away at Newcastle, but coming back with 3 points in absolute style. They were on top form last night, the typical Manchester City that we've come to expect over the last couple of seasons. Two goals for Gabriel Jesus, who has gone through a bit of a barren period of late, but in particular his first goal was really well taken. Scores the second. Then Rodrigo, who I'm going to call Rodrigo Hernandez Cascante, not call him Rodri, because I have far too much respect for a foreign player than just calling him Rodri as if he's from Newport. He's not. He's from Spain, so we can call him his proper name. He scores an absolute screamer. Riyad Mahrez is not a bad effort for the fourth. What is it in the last week with Manchester City and absolute screamers? Kevin De Bruyne scores one of the goals of the season against Newcastle, which is an utterly filthy piece of play there by Kevin De Bruyne. And then last night, three of City's four goals were pretty good strikes as well. But City back up and running after a disappointing draw for them on the weekend with a 4-1 win away at Burnley. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it was a big night for Amazon Prime. It's a big week for Amazon Prime. They have secured the rights to 20 games this season, 10 this week in the midweek round of fixtures, and then 10 more for Boxing Day just after the Christmas period, or in the Christmas period at the height of it, in that big game, those big set of fixtures on Boxing Day. So some pretty significant days for Amazon Prime. They got their coverage underway last night. Obviously, the two kickoffs were at very different times. We had the Crystal Palace Bournemouth game kicking off at 7:30, and then Burnley Manchester City at Turf Moor getting underway toward right at the end of that first half of the other game at 8:15 to try and maximise the viewership on it. Tonight's games, we have five at 7:30. The Merseyside derby kicks off at 8:15. I thought the Amazon coverage was fantastic. I thought it was a real success. There were so many questions as to whether things wouldn't work. Now, it didn't all necessarily go swimmingly. Some people were one of the big complaints was about how much it lagged, that someone timed, I think I saw on the BBC earlier, that it was about a minute 15 seconds behind BBC Radio 5 Live on DAB Radio. So there may have been a bit of a lag and people complaining about knowing about goals. Well, put your phone away then. If you were just watching the television, you wouldn't know that it was a minute behind. If you just put all your notifications on and look at your phone every 5 seconds, then that's probably the reason why you see it. But I thought it was a really big success. Also, one of the really intriguing points, I saw it, I think his name was Jed. He was from Manchester. He texted in to the BBC last night saying, I've been praying for this for years, and finally Amazon Prime have given it to me, the ability to turn off the voice of the commentators and simply listen to the noise of a stadium. And I thought, surely that can't be the case. Surely not. Well, went on Amazon Prime, started watching the Crystal Palace Bournemouth game. Lo and behold, there is a choice to just listen to the stadium effects. Hallelujah. Finally, people seeing sense that if you're hearing an irritating man, not mentioning any names, Robbie Savage in football, Stuart Barnes in rugby, that you can just choose to mute them. And you can still listen to the noise of the stadium. You can listen. It's kind of as if you're there. The authenticity of being in a stadium. Absolutely brilliant by Amazon to have that choice. I still think you can go one better and you can have a choice of commentators. You can listen to different voices, because there are some commentators that divide opinion. Some people like them, some people absolutely hate them. They're like Marmite. And the ability to choose your commentator. You might have a commentator, you just love his voice, you just love the way in which he talks about football, and you can have a choice of putting him on. But you also have the choice of saying, this guy's a beep, beep, and you can just go to someone else, and you can just mute them. It's beautiful. So brilliant choice by Amazon Prime to have that choice of turning off the irritating commentators that you don't want to listen to, and you can simply listen to the stadium noise. A big plus point for Amazon. But obviously the bigger test will come tonight. They will have a goals show, a bit like the European goal show on BT during a Champions League week, where you can experience all of the different goals as they come in. As I mentioned, we have 5:30 kickoffs tonight. Chelsea versus Aston Villa, Leicester take on Watford, Manchester United play against Tottenham, Southampton at home against Norwich, Wolves play West Ham, and then we have one 8:15 kickoff, which, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, is the Merseyside derby between Liverpool and Everton. So trying to maximise how much people watch of those games. The beauty of it is that those people that aren't at the stadium, number one, you have the choice of watching whichever game you want. If you're a Norwich fan and you don't get to go to Southampton on a Wednesday night in the early part of December, you can choose to watch that game. If you're a Leicester fan who can't get to the King Power Stadium tonight, you can watch your game at home to Watford. If you're a Tottenham fan and you haven't been able to make the trip up to Manchester in early December, you can watch your game. That's the great thing about this, is that you can have free reign over what you do. You can watch whichever game you want. You can flick between all of them, so you can decide, I tell you what, I'm going to watch the Manchester United-Tottenham game for 20 minutes, then I'm going to turn over to watch Chelsea-Aston Villa, then I'm going to watch the Liverpool-Everton game when that kicks off. That you can change around. You can watch the goal show, where you can see all of the action from all of the games as they come in. This is the way forward. I don't think people have been wondering whether the reason why, of course, 3 o'clock kickoffs are not allowed in this country to be broadcast live is because there's the fear that people wouldn't go to the stadium. They wouldn't go to the grounds to watch the games if they could just watch it from their sofas. I don't think that's true. I just think on a night like tonight, this is the perfect opportunity for those fans. As I said, you take Manchester United Tottenham. It's a Wednesday night in early December. It isn't easy for a lot of Tottenham fans to get the day off work to go up to Manchester to make the long, long trip up there and then the long trip back. It's for some people, it might need 2 days off work to do that. Instead, you now have the option. Now, Manchester United, Tottenham would have probably been on television along with the Merseyside derby tonight. Whether they'd have had two, we don't know. It would have probably been scheduled slightly differently. But if that game wasn't on live, you now have the opportunity to watch the whole game as you please. And I think this is a massive step forward. It shouldn't be seen as a threat to other people. It should be seen as another step forward for football because it is a worldwide sport. There are billions of people around the world watching football, and the ability for people in this country, in particular away fans that aren't able to make the trip 100 miles up the country to go and see their team, they have the ability in their own, that the comfort of their own sitting room, to watch the games and also flick between different games. And I think this is a significant step forward. It worked really well last night. Tonight's the bigger test because there are six games rather than two. But I think the signs yesterday from Amazon were really, really good. And hopefully we have another big night. Not just six fixtures tonight. We have two more tomorrow night as well. At Bramall Lane, the impressive Sheffield United in their first season since promotion. They host Newcastle. Arsenal still without a permanent manager. Freddie Ljungberg still in interim charge. They take on Brighton. Again, 7:30 kickoff at Bramall Lane. 8:15 kickoff at the Emirates. Maximising your watching of all these games. It was a success last night on Amazon Prime. Hopefully tonight will be another success. If you want to get in touch, how was your experience of watching Amazon last night? If you've got it, did you think it was a success, or there are major obstacles that prevented you from watching it? If you didn't have it, what's your view on Amazon? Is it a positive step forward, or is it just another way of people trying to get your money and having to spend more and more to watch football? Get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Later in the hour, we're going to be previewing the game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Tottenham as Jose makes the return to Old Trafford. How much pressure is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer under? But up next, we'll be previewing the Merseyside derby. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty of games to look forward to tonight. We're going to look ahead to the Merseyside derby. It's at Anfield tonight, Liverpool versus Everton. It's an 8:15 kickoff. And to look ahead to the game, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jonathan Higgins, sports broadcaster and journalist. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jonathan. This is a huge game. Obviously, it is a derby game, but it runs a lot deeper than that. That not just is the city divided, but families are divided. You will see at Anfield tonight, Liverpool fans sat with Everton fans because they're related to them. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters will be supporting different clubs. This is, in some ways, a unique rivalry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know it's cliche, but it is the one fixture that you look at when the fixture calendars are released to see when the derbies are there. They are that big a scale. And you are right as well. We've seen lots and lots of derbies that are, you know, that are high profile, but the divide goes along the edge and sometimes completely over the top. Don't get me wrong, there's huge, huge rivalry between the two teams. But you are right on the other side of things. Families are split. Even this morning in the office and stuff like that, you're debating, I'm not going to message this guy. All of a sudden, here's a guy I usually deal with. Oh, they're a blue, I better not stay quiet. You know, or back and forth. It's amazing how all of a sudden the loyalties and the boundary lines are divided down. And you can even tell as well by Jurgen Klopp, even just reading some of his pre-matches comments in the programme for tonight as well, just how much it means to him. He really, really gets it. He understands it. We saw his emotions last season where he went completely over the top, but he knows the true element, the true meaning and what it means to the fans, the derby, and it should be an absolutely cracking atmosphere at Anfield tonight.
In the build-up to the game, Jonathan, a lot's been made of the fortunes of the two sides. On the Everton side, there's the pressure ramping up on Marco Silva for a few weeks now. People have been wondering whether Marco Silva can keep his job going forward from game to game, actually. A lot of people have been talking about in the Times today. You can read how Liverpool have left rivals Everton in their wake on and off the pitch. It's been 20 years since Everton last won at Anfield in 1999. Some people say going into a derby game, Jonathan, that form goes out of the window, that it is a derby game, and therefore you can, to an extent, disregard what's happened before. Going into this game with the completely contrasting form for Liverpool, who've won all but one of their games and drawn the other, Everton in a real slump just above the relegation zone, on a night like tonight, Is that usual cliche of form goes out of the window? Is that true on an evening like tonight?
I think it certainly is to an extent. You are right. The both teams are, you know, absolutely spectrums apart. You know, you can argue that, I don't think a Liverpool team, you can argue, has never been in as good form. The stats that you can reel out is absolutely incredible. I think it's going on almost 3 years where they're unbeaten at Anfield. They've only lost one of the last 53 games in the league. I could literally rhyme off stats all day long just to show how good and how much of a run that Liverpool are on. That being said, Everton, while it's almost the unique scenario that you touched on there, where they're almost in this weird scenario where every game that they're announced, yes, Silva is going to be the manager for this game, it's almost game by game. It looked like all the whispers were after the Norwich game that he was going to be relieved of his duties. Since gone on to that sucker punch at Leicester City, it's a big game for I think both his managerial credit, because can you imagine the upturn of events if they do get that first victory since 99, as they touched on, how much all of a sudden the confidence boost will come on the end. And it was interesting, last night, just doing a bit of research, I ended up watching back the equivalent game at Anfield last season, and everybody remembers the game for obviously the unique, and I don't think we'll ever see a goal as crazy as that ever scored at Anfield again, despite the long luster of history. That goal was unique. I don't think you can ever replicate that. But the game as a whole, Everton played quite well and was almost completely akin to what we expected and what we've witnessed with Everton teams over the years. They really went to attack Liverpool, and, you know, in midfield there, that Gomez, that Silva, Sigurdsson, Richarlison was in great form as well. They created a big opportunities, and there was the big moment of the first half really was Alisson doing an unbelievable save from a header from a yard out, and then Gomez clearing it off the line, last ditch. It would have been a completely different situation, that goal gone in. Alisson's not here tonight as well. Is Adrian capable of making such a world-class save? I don't know. It's like, if you're judging the game on two teams that are, we strip away the emotion of the derby and all that, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. Liverpool would cruise to another routine victory. But derbies aren't like that. We've seen them over the years where teams, even when they're not in the best of form, they will come on. There was a while there Everton had such a great run against Liverpool, and their league form was bordering relegation form for quite a while. It doesn't make sense. If you take Everton at the moment, the last two games, they're in a mess on and off the pitch. But they will. You do know that once they come to Anfield, there is going to be a bounce. I think the game will be decided a lot, I think, by Liverpool's reaction. If they're able to match the intensity, match the work rate, and not get too sucked into the whole derby atmosphere and play the football that they're capable of and go with that aggressive start, and probably an early goal is key here, and Liverpool can play the game on their old terms, you would expect Liverpool to grind them down. Whether that's going to be yet another late winner, who knows? Everton have, you know, they have a bad record as well of conceding late goals. It's a fascinating battle. It really is. But you'd have to expect Liverpool just to get enough to get the job done. Like, watch Liverpool home and away, cover them in detail, picking out the nits and gritties of them, and I will always back a Liverpool team.
You mentioned there about Alisson's suspension after being sent off in the latter stages of the win against Brighton. He will miss tonight's game, so Adrian will come in and goal. In terms of other changes, do you think Jurgen Klopp will stick quite closely to the team on Saturday, or will he be considering changes? Obviously, Fabinho's out until the new year, but apart from that, it is mostly a fully fit squad. So, obviously, there's going to be one enforced change in goal. Do you expect to see any other changes in the starting 11 for Liverpool tonight?
Yeah, so really, you know, we've the long-term injuries and suspension there that writes one side of the card. I think the only decision he has really is where he goes with that extra midfield player. I personally would like to see Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start, just to give that attacking energy and everything that I spoke about there a couple of minutes previous, just about getting that fast start. There is the flip side of, does he go with the more steady Eddie approach and put James Miller in midfield and really, really try and shore it up and maybe look to bring Chamberlain on? I think really that's the only decision to be made. You look around the team, the rest of it picks itself. I know we do have the injury knocks with Salah and Robertson. I expect both of those to start tonight. You're probably looking at it's that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, James Miller flipping midfield, and then you're probably looking at the likes of maybe Origi to come on to replace maybe a tired Salah on the hour marker, 20 minutes to go. And it's interesting, like, everybody remembers Origi's late winner last night, but he's an absolutely amazing record. He scored in every Anfield appearance against Everton. So if we believe in the horses for course mentality, maybe we'll see him if Liverpool are chasing a goal. But yeah, that's really the only, for me, it's only that midfield change. You'd like to think he will go with Chamberlain, but we have seen Klopp before kind of go back before for the tried and trusted midfield. So we'll have to see. Particularly, it's an edge up. It could go either way.
Obviously, there have been links for not just a few weeks, but a few months, linking Jadon Sancho with a move back to England. There's a bit of unrest maybe at Borussia Dortmund, despite his record again this season being pretty phenomenal. I think it's 5 goals, 7 assists already so far this season. He's been linked with Liverpool in the past. Those rumours have continued over the last few days. Liverpool have been installed as the bookies' favourites to sign Jadon Sancho. Jurgen Klopp, when asked about potential signings in January, didn't close the door. He said that the club are always ready to make signings if they need to. Obviously, a couple of years ago, Liverpool bought Virgil van Dijk in during the January transfer window. So do you think, how kind of likely do you think is that Jadon Sancho could end up at Liverpool? And if he does, is it more likely to happen in the summer, or could it happen potentially with some of the unrest between Sancho and Dortmund this season? Could it even happen in January?
Personally, I'd be surprised if it happens in January. I think it would take a lot more drama behind the scenes at Dortmund to push that deal through right now. As you touched on there, the only big signing he did really in the January window was Van Dijk, and that was kind of a necessity where they chased him for all summer. It didn't work out. It became available again, and they jumped on it. I think prior to that, Stephen Cockler, that's the only other signing in January. So he's very much kind of not against, but very much reluctant to spend in January, and I think that's for a couple of reasons. Well, really, it's the market is so inflated in January, and plus the biggest thing really is players, and you have to include Sancho in this. They're going to take a while to bed in and to adjust into the Liverpool system, and we've seen that with some many signings. You take even Fabinho, I know he's injured for night, but Robertson as well, they both were players that took a while to embed. And if you're taking at a embedment picture now between now and January, you're probably looking at almost not being ready till summer, and so you could argue what's the point. I'd say if push comes to shove on it, and that there is really that, you know, other clubs are sniffing around, it'll probably be dependent on what other offers are on the market. If it feels like Liverpool have a chance of missing out on the target, perhaps we'll go to another kind of Naby Keita style deal where the agreement is put in place now in January with a move in the summer. I'd be personally surprised, just given the fact as well, he's probably going to have to look at a slight positional change as well. I don't think he's going to be able to play the exact same role at Dortmund in this Liverpool team. I don't see Jurgen Klopp tweaking the system to allow him to play his natural position that he's at the moment. So there is, while he's a talented player, it is still going to take him a while to, and I think on the work rate as well. And Liverpool's system is so unique to other systems as well, so it will take him a while. And I think the wise money would be on Liverpool signing him in the summer.
And just finally then, Jonathan, in terms of a prediction tonight, how do you think the game will play out at Anfield?
Yeah, it's probably going to be tight, cheerful, but I probably expect a 2-1 Liverpool victory. Every team opposition team has scored at Anfield to date the season, and you probably have to look on Everton probably doing that as well. Liverpool have been a little wobbly at set pieces as well. If I was Marco Silva, that's something I would be I'd be honing on practicing and coming into tonight's game. I'd probably expect both teams to score, but I think we could have more late drama. I think it's going to be edgy and tight, but Liverpool will do enough to get the 3 points.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jonathan. That was Jonathan Higgins, a sports broadcaster and journalist, looking ahead to the Merseyside derby at Anfield tonight. Liverpool and Everton played Anfield tonight in the Premier League, and then at the beginning of January, they've been drawn together in the third round of the FA Cup. So two Merseyside derbies at Anfield in the space of a month. Very contrasting fortunes for the two sides. Marco Silva clinging by a thread to the Everton job. For Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, things couldn't be going a lot better. Only one game in the Premier League this season so far, Liverpool have failed to win. That was a draw at Manchester United. So things going pretty well. And as I said, those links between Liverpool and Jadon Sancho are only building. They've been instilled as the favourites to sign him. Now, whether that would happen in January or not, Jonathan's suggesting there may be an agreement where he would sign, loaned back to Dortmund for the rest of the season. Dortmund did that earlier in the year with Christian Pulisic, where Chelsea had signed him, loaned him back effectively. That's why Pulisic was able to join Chelsea in the summer, because he was already a Chelsea player and being loaned back. Could we see a similar move with Liverpool signing Jadon Sancho in January, loaning him back to Dortmund for the rest of the season and joining up next summer? We'll have to wait and see. If you want to get in touch, not just about the Merseyside derby, but plenty of games at Stamford Bridge, it's Frank Lampard against Dean Smith, and obviously that was the playoff final from last season between Villa and Derby. Also John Terry on the coaching staff at Villa. Leicester Watford. Watford still haven't appointed a new manager despite the fact they said they were going to. Manchester United Tottenham, a massive game at Old Trafford. Ollie may be on the cusp, and Mourinho on potentially coming, returning to Old Trafford. Can he get a win at his old club? Southampton Norwich, a big game down in the bottom three, and Wolves take on West Ham. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We'll be looking ahead to that game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Tottenham next.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We've talked about one huge game tonight, the Merseyside derby at Anfield. The other huge game tonight is at Old Trafford. Manchester United play Tottenham. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying he's not fearing his job, but probably looking over his shoulder with maybe a certain Mauricio Pochettino looming behind him, and Jose Mourinho returning to Old Trafford as the Spurs manager. To get the United perspective now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jamie Jackson, Manchester football correspondent for The Guardian. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jamie. So what is the bigger storyline going into the game at Old Trafford tonight? Is it Ole Gunnar Solskjaer claiming he's not scared, but quite clearly is fearing that he's about to lose his job, or Jose's return to Old Trafford?
That's a good question. I like it. I think I'm going to say it's a score draw about 5-8. Because it's Manchester United, so whoever's the manager, you know, is going to be of interest. And the reason I say it that way is because when you talk about any manager, Jose Mourinho is basically the most box office famous, however you want to describe it, in that regard, manager out there. I'll be doing colour tonight from Old Trafford, which means a sort of not a straight match report, and I'm going to do kind of the theme you've just sort of asked me there, because it is an interesting one, these two going head-to-head. I mean, I was at the press conference yesterday. Obviously, would like to know a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes at United with Solskjaer. He's kind of, it's a little bit strong to say he's living hand-to-mouth, you know, sort of game-to-game, if I could put it that way, with regard to his job. But, you know, he's got this game. He's got the, I think it's the 179th Mancunian derby on Saturday. He loses them both. Well, it's football. Who knows what will happen? He certainly, you know, what he's saying in the press conference, he believes, you know, there's a long-term plan and you know, they really don't want to chop and change. And how are they ever going to sort out this kind of mess, really, of a squad, disjointed squad, if someone does not, with a concerted plan, with the right players, transfer policy, recruitment policy, adhered to, you know, has time to carry it out. He had it last summer, as we all know, he had three signings, which, you know, all three were part of this plan. So he really needs at least one more summer. But can he get there? It was interesting yesterday. I thought one thing he did say a couple of times was, you know, obviously these things take time, but hopefully if you can get a few wins, it could speed it up. And I just wondered, is that him kind of thinking, well, you know, I just for my own peace of mind, I need a win. Now, this game, Spurs tonight, they lost the corresponding fixture last year. It was the 3-0. I don't remember if you remember the Jose Mourinho, when he was in charge of United. It was the respect game. Yeah. Remember that one? The one afterwards. And so, you know, how can I say? To be honest, I can't work out what's going to be more entertaining, if Spurs win or lose with regard to Mourinho afterwards, because you know how he likes to sort of be Jose Mourinho, and you know, if he has to walk in there, and let's say they've lost 3-0, for example, that would be interesting, won't it? Because someone's bound to remind him. But going back to Ollie, I don't know really. I think, you know, before Mourinho was sacked himself, this 17th of December, basically a year ago, the noises from the club basically the day before was he's going nowhere, and he went in the end. So I'm not saying Solskjaer's going tonight if they lose or on Saturday, but it is definitely something that's a live issue now. He hasn't won two consecutive league games since he became permanent manager. Last time, the last consecutive league win was 2nd of March, Southampton. That's Manchester United have not won two league games on the bounce since then. I mean, that's, you know, there's all sorts of stats to sum it up, but that for me is the one. I mean, that's remarkable, right? But at the same time, I did a little poll on Twitter the other day. I've got a few thousand followers, and I said, where do you think they should be? It was a yes or no answer, top four or not, and it came out 58% against that they should be in the top four. So then you say, okay, so that means that the minimum fifth place. Well, they're only sort of 2 points, is it, off fifth? You know, so you can look at it any way you want, really. But I think, you know, he needs to start winning a few games because he's closer to the relegation zone, isn't he, as we speak?
As we've kind of been talking about, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has refuted claims that he's worried about his job. He's also asked for patience. And as you mentioned, the big question actually is, will he be given that after United's worst start to a season in 31 years? Mauricio Pochettino's figure is looming large, not just kind of over the shoulder of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but amongst a number of managers or managerial positions around Europe. Do you think that these two games, it's Tottenham at home tonight, it's Manchester City away on Saturday, do you think if these next couple of games don't go well, which there is a high probability because Spurs are in better form than United after Mourinho's arrival, City are obviously the phenomenal side that they've been over the last couple of years, do you think that the calls for Pochettino will only increase over the coming days and Solskjaer should be looking over his shoulder?
Well, 100% if you lose them, yes. I mean, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer might be saying to his players tonight ahead of the game, look what we did to Liverpool. We're the only team this season to take points off Liverpool. You know, I think it was a 0-0 or 1-1, I can't remember, but it was a draw anyway at Old Trafford. So, you know, and that's what he will be saying and that's what he'll be hoping he can do, certainly in one of these games. I mean, football is funny. It's a bit of a cliche to say that, but it is. I wouldn't be surprised. I think it would be a bit of a shock, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win both these games. I'm not saying they're going to, but you just never know in football. And that would be the dream scenario for him. But yeah, Pochettino, as long as United stroke Solskjaer in this sort of, you know, not feast famine, but sort of win one, lose or draw the next two situation, Pochettino's on the market, it'll be a live issue. You know, he will be looked at, you know, and be there. So it's going to be very interesting tonight just to see how Solskjaer sets up. Does he do what he did against Liverpool? I think it was like a 3-4-1-2, if I remember correctly, three at the back, and it kind of worked. They might have won that game. You know, I could see them doing a number on Spurs, but it's Jose Mourinho. He will really want to win this, and they've had such a good start. But he's got to lose some time as well. I really don't know. It's a bit like Marcus Rashford form. I really don't know how to call it, what he's going to do from one game to another, a bit like the side, really.
You mentioned there, Jamie, a bit about the formation. Anthony Martial is set to miss out on tonight's game after picking up an injury on the weekend against Aston Villa. You mentioned it there, how against Liverpool they went to a back three. Do you think that's something that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be looking to do again if Martial does, as is expected, miss out tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember exactly, but it was Daniel James and Marcus Rashford that day, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
The 3-4-1-2, you know, against Liverpool. So he may well go that way just because it worked so well. And he looked... You know, that performance was probably the performance of the season from United, because I know they beat Chelsea 4-0 and only drew against Liverpool at home. But I just thought on that day, tactically, he was smart, and the way that the players played, it looked like a bright performance. So I think he may well do that. You know, what's interesting for me is Maguire hasn't really worked so far. He's been okay, but he looks a bit off the pace, maybe. I don't know what it is. He looks a bit clumsy, got mistaken. So maybe if he went for three at the back, that would help that situation. But yeah, I think that's something to look out for. Rashford's got seven Premier League goals and 14 starts in the league, which, you know, it's a bare minimum he needs, but it's good. One, you know, it's good enough kind of thing. One in every two. But then if you look at, like, Jamie Vardy, I believe, is 13 and 14. That's really where United have to be in those sort of goal-scoring ratios to be proper contenders. It's going to be fun of games. You know, I'm lucky enough in this job to see, you know, I was at Burnley yesterday, for example, for the City game. Lucky enough to see lots of brilliant football, but I'm really looking forward to this one tonight. It's going to be interesting.
One man that is set to not play as well as Paul Pogba. I mean, there's always storylines surrounding Paul Pogba. He's still not recovered, although some people suggested some pictures from some of the training camps believe that he may have been fit and is pushing for a move in your January transfer window. Where is this Paul Pogba saga up to? Do you think United are just growing more and more frustrated and they would be willing, would it be in January, to just cut their losses, cut him adrift and move on from Paul Pogba? Or something that will be kind of moved on to the summer when they have more time to think about it?
My answer to that is, if we can sell him in January and get, you know, a player who's, you know, as talented... Because you have to remember, they lost Herrera and Fellaini last January. Didn't replace them. So there's two midfielders who went out the door they didn't replace with regard to, yeah, you know, having extra bodies or bodies to replace them. And then if you lose Pogba, I don't care how much money you get, unless you've got a, you know, say, I mean, they were quoting Real, for example, 150, 70 million in the summer. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's going to be tricky that you could look at, I think after they lost at Newcastle, they won 5 out of 6 and drew the other one, or maybe, went 5 out of 6 unbeaten, having lost at Bournemouth within there, and that was without Pogba. So you could say, well, actually, do they need him? But I just think if you're going to get anywhere this season as United, you have to have Pogba. Surely it makes more sense for him to go in the summer if he's going to go rather than January. I don't see how that helps United, really. Everyone always says, they always say at the club that January signings are so tricky. Look at Sanchez, you know, when he went there sort of two Januaries ago, whenever it was. I hear this stuff, or is he actually fit? But he said yesterday, Solskjaer, that he's out on the grass. I can't believe that United wouldn't, you know, stroke Pogba wouldn't have him in the squad if he was fit, just because they pay him a lot of money. And he's a very good footballer. You know, we can have a debate all day long about whether he plays to his potential every game, but I still think he makes them a better side, even if he plays, you know, half an hour or an hour. So I would be, listen, nothing in football should shock any of us, but I would be surprised if he was to go in January. But you'd never know, because that's the caveat with football. You just do not know. Madder things have happened, but I would suggest that it'd be a little bit of an odd move from United to allow that.
Well, there's always something to talk about with Paul Pogba. Just finally, Jamie, just slightly away from Manchester United, I believe you've got a book out, Nighttime Call. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, it's under my author name, which is Jamie Paradise. It's set at Christmas. It's about skullduggery in the snow in Shoreditch. There's a bent policeman called D.I. Frederick Street. He's benter than anyone in Peaky Blinders and twice as smart. I'll leave it there. Check it out. You can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Jamie. That was Jamie Jackson, Manchester football correspondent for The Guardian. Not just a football correspondent, also an author. Sounds very intriguing, doesn't it? I suppose if you like Peaky Blinders, you're going to love this book, Nighttime Call. It is available. Jamie Paradise, not under Jamie Jackson. Nighttime Call, it is available on Amazon. So sounds very, very intriguing that football journalists, that they have another life, don't they? They don't just write about football. They find other ways to interest themselves during their free time. And Jamie's is writing, effectively, Peaky Blinders. That's effectively what it is. So if you're a big fan of that, make sure you check that out. It is a massive game at Old Trafford. As Jamie mentioned there, you think back just over a year ago, it was at Old Trafford, 3-0, Tottenham 1. The infamous, just standing for about 2 minutes, Jose just with a straight face, just claps, stands in front of the Stretford end, just clapping away. It was just really quite awkward, just thinking, what on earth is this moron doing? And then he gets back in and he talks about, three? We lost 3-0? How many titles have I won? 3? More than any other Premier League managers? 3 titles, respect! Respect! And he walks out and you can still hear him walking. You can probably still hear him now, still going, respect! 3! Respect. We'll get more on Manchester United Tottenham next.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We were talking about the game at Old Trafford. No matter what happens tonight, it is sure to create headlines. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer holding on at Manchester United against Jose Mourinho on his return for the first time as a manager to Old Trafford. To get the Spurs perspective now, having got the Manchester United perspective, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Martin Bahadji, a board member of the Spurs Supporters Trust. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Martin. Obviously, we were talking about the game at Old Trafford last season where Tottenham won 3-0 and Jose was up to his usual antics, clapping in front of the Stretford end, demanding respect for his 3 titles. And no matter what happens tonight, there's going to be headlines. What type of a reception do you think he'll get? He says that he was never the villain at Manchester United, but I get the sense Old Trafford aren't exactly going to receive him well tonight.
Yeah, I think from our point of view, we're expecting him to get a decent reception, maybe a few claps. There might be some jeering, there sometimes is, particularly when the game starts. I think he'll probably get a more respectful reception than he got from Chelsea fans when he went back to Stamford Bridge with Manchester United, and I think that might be the point he's been trying to make. But I think, you know, from our point of view, we're looking at the game and thinking he did an all right job there, finished second, and he won the League Cup, won the Europa League, and seemed to fall out with a few of the players. But I think the fans till the end at United seemed to be supporting him. So, you know, from our point, we just wanted to get up there and get the 3 points, regardless of the reception he receives. But I would have thought it'll be fairly respectful.
Does the attitude, Martin, going into this game, or the belief from Spurs fans going into this game, has it changed from if Mauricio Pochettino had been in charge now to Jose Mourinho? Obviously took over a few weeks ago. Tottenham have won all three games that he's been in charge. Would there be potentially more negativity or less confidence if it was still Pochettino in charge compared to Mourinho taking the Spurs side to Old Trafford tonight?
It's hard to say, because there's nothing to say that Poch wouldn't have beaten West Ham, Bournemouth and Olympiacos. But obviously, Mourinho's got the job. He's done that. He's won three games, scored 10 goals, and certainly revitalised the likes of Dele Alli. And, you know, so some of our big match players are now performing, whereas perhaps before they weren't, and maybe the system that we were using before didn't suit them. But I think it's a hard one to call, because at the same time, we just look very ropey at the back still. So there's something that we need to resolve. We've been 3-0 up at West Ham, 3-0 up against Bournemouth, and won both games 3-2. And you just, obviously, the confidence is going to be building with every win we get. But I think football fans who've been watching Spurs regularly can sense that whenever we concede a goal, you can just see the heads drop. You can just see there's still some anxiety. They're still a bit nervous. The Olympiacos game showed that. As soon as Olympiacos scored, it was like, well, when are they going to score again? We just seem to fall apart. And then the same's happened with West Ham and at Bournemouth, despite being 3-0 up. Hopefully, we will sort that problem out. And I think maybe Eric Dier getting fully fit is going to be key to that, because I don't think the midfield have offered much protection to our back four. But so it's going to be a nervy one. It'll be one of those games where even if we're 1-2-0 up, you will always feel that if Manchester United get a goal, they can get another. And I think that's one of the issues. That's one of the things Jose needs to really iron out of this Spurs team, get that belief back and have us bossing games again for, you know, the full 95, 96 minutes.
You mentioned Dele Alli's name there, Martin. He's had a bit of a resurgence back to some sort of form that he was showing a couple of years ago. Probably actually in the last couple of games under Pochettino, and then since Jose has taken over. Why do you think over the last month that we've seen a resurgence from Dele Alli? And do you think, with the Euros not that far away, do you think that he is not far away from forcing his way back into the England squad?
I think a fully fit Dele Alli has to be in the England squad. I know some fans disagree with that, but I think if you're watching him every week, you realise what a great player he is. Clearly, the injury he had in pre-season really hampered him. And it's important that people remember that he was injured, and it was a nasty injury. And it took him out for a few weeks from that Bayern Munich game in pre-season. And then when he came back, I think he came back in, didn't he? And then they had the Liverpool game and he came in for a bit of criticism there. Probably wasn't fully fit. He's then scored against Everton under Poch and sort of went on that run. And since then, he just hasn't looked back. Now, I do think the 4-4-2 that Poch was using in the last year, the diamond, probably didn't suit him. And to be fair, you know, that's managers, Pochettino will argue probably that it did and he was fine. I think the 4-2-3-1 has always suited him playing off Harry Kane. I think a few Spurs fans, including myself, have wanted him to play there for a while, particularly given Eriksen's drop in form in the last year. So having him there and Eriksen on the bench, I think, suits us. I think we look with more potent attacking force. And one thing that we've really missed when Dele's been out of the team or when he's not been playing off Kane are those runs. And it's great to see, you know, the two goals against Bournemouth. It was old school Dele from 2 years ago. Alderweireld finding him with that pass. And some will call it long ball, but I'm calling it, you know, it's just a great ball from Toby into Dele's chest, and he's so dangerous. And I don't think there's another English player that can do that. And I think that's why Southgate had him in that squad for that period of time. I know there's some young players coming through, Mason Mount, Maddison, and whoever else. But I just think that when he's fit, Dele Alli offers far more of a goal threat than those players. And I think if he stays at this level and stays fit, he'll be in that squad, that England squad, come the summer.
Christian Eriksen's name was another you mentioned there, Martin. He's out of contract at the end of the season. Rumours surfacing yesterday that Daniel Levy may not even be after half of what he was kind of after, £80 million in the summer, maybe even under £40 million, could snare him in January. Between now and then, would you be regularly playing him to get the most out of him while he's still there? And when it gets to January, would you be fine with selling him, so long as it probably wasn't to a fellow Premier League club?
Yeah, I think he said he wants to go to Spain or Italy, so that's fine. That suits us. I'm I'm open. I think most Spurs fans are happy with him going. Funnily enough, at the Olympiacos game last week, people could understand Mourinho making a sub because it wasn't working, and but some were questioning bringing Eriksen on. So I think he's fallen out of favour with a lot of Spurs fans in the way he's performed and in recent times. So I don't think there'll be a lot of upset when he does go. So, having said that, again, when he played against Olympiacos last week, it was probably his best game for a year. He actually looked like he wanted to be wearing the Spurs shirt, which was nice. So I think when the time comes, I think I'm happy with him. I think most Spurs fans see the future as Dele off Kane, Son on the right, Moura or even a new player on the left. We've got Sessegnon who's getting some fitness as well. So I think if you get 40 million for him, then that's great. I think the biggest problem we're going to have with Eriksen is now clubs like Real Madrid or Juventus who wanted him perhaps might not, given his recent performances. Maybe he can rediscover some of that. But I think it's a real shame because for 4 years he's been such a brilliant player and was much loved by everyone at Spurs. And the last sort of 6-7 months, the form, it wasn't so much the fact he wasn't getting assists or he wasn't playing well or the, you know, his set pieces weren't coming off. It was more the attitude and I think, you know, the head down and, you know, not even committing to challenges when the ball was right in front of him. And I think it's a real shame that legacy's kind of been wasted now. But I think it's time for, you know, with the new manager in, we're looking forward and I think he'll definitely be in the past, and if we can offload him in January, I don't think there'll be too many Spurs fans that will be that bothered, sadly.
And just finally, then, a quick fire prediction. Marcin, how do you see the game playing out at Old Trafford?
I can see goals, unfortunately, both ends. I think it'll be similar to last season. I think with Pogba out, if McTominay's out and a few of they've got a few injuries, United, and I can see Mourinho playing the same sort of team. I can see United possibly scoring first and then us coming back into it. So I'll go for an ambitious 3-1 to Spurs.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Martin. That was Martin Bahagia, board member of the Spurs Supporters Trust, obviously looking ahead to a big game at Old Trafford tonight. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think the fact that he's coming out and saying he's not scared, I think highlights how fearful he is about losing his job, that the availability now of Mauricio Pochettino will be tempting the Manchester United board to make that change. The reality is he should never have been given the job in the first place. So he is scared, and Jose, obviously, on his return, he says he was never the villain at Manchester United, but I can't imagine the United fans at Old Trafford tonight will be clapping him on into the dugout and really happy to see him. But whatever happens, Old Trafford is a place where headlines are going to be created tonight. If United win, it's a Jose defeat. And so what's his reaction going to be? Does it keep Ole in a job for a little bit longer? If it goes the other way, you've then got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer under even more pressure. And Jose, what's his reaction going to be if Tottenham win? As I said, last year he used the opportunity when United lost 3-0 to talk about him winning three titles and demanding respect. No matter what happens, whether it's a win, loss, probably not a draw. I think a draw doesn't really create any headlines, but a win for either side certainly would be very, very interesting, and so many ramifications will come from that game.
This is Love Sport.